Welcome to Climate Talk Uganda. I'm your host, Josephine Karungi. In this episode, we speak to two young innovators. They're from the first window of the Uganda Climate Innovation Fund, which is running three funding windows, two already done and one window that will open on the 21st of April 2025. The fund supports genuinely new ideas that tackle challenges in agriculture. Our guests today are pioneers from Window One, Nicholas Najuna, the founder and executive chief executive officer at Afrotime, and Namtebi Munira, who is the co-founder and team lead at Umuntu Agrobiotics. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Tell me about yourselves and how you got into this business. What inspired you to think about innovations like this in this space? I'll start with you, Munira.
Our inspiration comes from the concerns, the cries of smallholder farmers. I personally am a product of a smallholder farmer. My grandmother is a smallholder farmer deep down in Chagwe. So I grew up listening to her concerns, cries about, you know, how can I change my crop yields? How can I educate my grandchildren and my children? How can I possibly achieve this? And there was no alternative. Of course, the only route, kind of a shortcut, would be the use of inorganic fertilizers that would, over the time, create an impact that is not so friendly to the environment and to the health. So reading and, you know, going through education, moving to Makerere University, meeting a team, I saw this as a grand opportunity to explore more into how can I use a nature-based solution to actually solve a problem that has been impacting our farmers for so long.
Why nature best?
Yeah, surprisingly, nature has a lot of solutions that have not been tapped into. It's basically our initiative on how to tap into that power of nature. Number one, nature has no like adverse impacts like when you use inorganic fertilizers that are synthetic and, you know, have a lot of chemicals. So when you tap into the power of nature, you're creating a solution that will not only enhance people's health and, you know, provide nutritious meals on their plates, but also you're creating something that they will be able to earn a living from. So that is what nature does. Yeah.
So when you eventually had this product for the first time,
yes, please.
Did you go back home and say, grandmother, see what I've done?
Definitely. I think in my perspective as an innovator, it's very good to start with yourself. Yes, before you try it on others, try it on the people around you. Can you try it on your family? Yes, before you even think of expanding into, let me say, the whole of East Africa or the whole of Uganda. Is it successful in your own area, in your own surrounding?
Was it?
Yes, sure, it was. I tested it with my grandmother and she was able to harvest about 15 bags of beans in a 1 acre plot piece of land.
What was she harvesting before she tried this product?
It's a sad story again. But that would be less than 5 bags, about 3, yeah, approximately 3. And, you know, these are full of chemicals, fertilizers that are harmful to the environment and her own health and her own children and grandchildren. Yeah, this is where the inspiration comes from, to broaden it and think about, oh, if it can work on my own people, why not the whole of Uganda? Why not northern Uganda? Yeah.
Nicholas, what's your story? How did you come into innovations?
Thank you, Josephine. For a very long time, growing up, I always knew that if my father does not have a successful season, then I am not going to school. Or if I do, there are going to be a lot of struggles going there. And that was also the same for most of my friends in the neighborhood. And this was a problem, not just for individual family. It was a communal problem. And that is agriculture, because most of them were relying on agriculture. But also now growing up, I realized this is not even a communal problem. It's a national problem, because now these smallholder farmers are the ones that are feeding us. They are feeding the nation because they are the majority. And, you know, starting from that area of my parents, if I help a parent, if I help myself, then maybe I can help a neighbor, and maybe I can help a nation or even a continent. And that is how my story began, a story of a boy born by smallholder farmers.
And so you saw this call that said we are looking for innovators who can think about solutions for smallholder farmers, but in the north. And then you thought, my innovation, did you have the innovation at that point?
Yeah, well, the innovation was already in the pipeline, because that is not an innovation that started when the call was up. It is something that I'd worked on for a long time. I would say about 2 years researching, trying to zero down to some things. Does this work? Does this work? So for about 2 years, trying to research and understand, but also trying to look for the best opportunity. Who's the right person I can work with? Where do I get the knowledge? Where do I plan out this, or even, try it out, really. So that is how it started, but it started way long with finding solutions for the challenges that were faced by my community, most especially dry spells, because at one point in my lifetime, I almost dropped out of school because of that. Back in 2016, there was a very bad, deadly drought that hit Isinjira and was all over news. And at that time, for a whole year, I couldn't even think of how I would go back to school. And I really wanted to go back to school, because I knew that is where my future was. And it was because of dry spells. And back then, I think I was in a high schooler, but still, I wanted to help. I wanted to find solutions. These people were sending me to school, and I needed to get back to them with solutions to make sure that they still stay up.
So your tagline is enhancing farmers' resilience to dry spells. You say you give farmers a moisture retention solution that helps them reduce their irrigation or water needs. Tell me about this innovation. Is it like a power bank, but of water?
Yeah, perfectly said. Water bank is an innovation that is actually inspired by smallholder farmer, also the conditions of a farmer who does not have access to a lot of things that many people call modern, but I won't say modern because the product is also modern, but yeah, that rudimentary, that could be the right word, rudimentary. But yes, so a water bank comes in a granular form. And if I may try to explain it to you in a layman's language, I would use maybe like a sponge or a cloth.
I like the idea of a sponge. You know, they say that children are like a sponge. They listen to everything around, soak it up. And even if you try to take it out of them at some point, little things remain.
Perfect. Let me just use that then. So look at water bank as a sponge. A sponge is dry. It comes in contact with water. Or let's say you power a cup of water. When you squeeze it out, not all the cup will go out. So water bank is like a sponge. We create that sponge from organic materials and other nutrients, and so bring it together so that a farmer can put that sponge in the soil. But now, this is not a sponge, it's just a granule. Look at maybe salt, look at maybe sugar, just comes in that granular form so that a farmer can simply, put it on the plant root zone when they are planting or even transplanting.
So I put it on the root of the... Do I bury it with the plant or...?
Yeah, if it's, for example, a bean, you bury it with a bean and then wait for it to rain. Or if you have your watering can, you water that. Now, our sponge is going to retain that water. It's going to absorb that water, retain it, and it will keep it for a long time, approximately 1 to 2 months, such that even when that sun comes, that strong sun, that scorching sun, that plant root can still go in and just get that water without you going back to irrigate.
So I know that when the call was put out for innovators, they wanted new innovations in Uganda that haven't been tested anywhere. So this There's nothing like this in Uganda at the moment.
There is nothing.
Where are we now with your product?
So right now we are at, we've done prototypes. So we're trying to improve the prototype and make it an MVP that will test.
When you say MVP, there's a sign on the door that says no acronyms in this room.
Okay. So a minimum viable product. So this is like a most basic product that with most basic features that a farmer would need to absorb that water and keep it. So that is where we are right now. We'll test that minimum viable product with the farmers come this very year.
And farmers will be able to afford it?
Yes. We have designed this with a smallholder farmer in mind. Now, date back to our story. This is someone who inspired us to go into this space. So we've been trying to design this whole process so that it has the smallholder farmer in mind. And that is why we have also conducted a feasibility study before we delve deep into the development so that we understand clearly who this person is that we are innovating for. So we conducted a feasibility study last year in Yumbe and Kiriandongo, where we met groups of smallholder farmers. So we tried to understand what their challenges are, try to understand what their soils are, why do they lose water so fast, and how much can you afford to, could you pay for such a product if you were not to, why? So that is why we did so that we understand and we believe they can afford.
What did they say in response to that? Can you afford 5,000 shillings for how long?
So we did get varying answers, of course, and I think this also, you know, is a reason of course varying economic situations. Some could say I can afford and I can definitely pay for this. And then for some who couldn't afford, they were willing to take it on credit. So they actually suggest that if there was a credit facility, I would definitely pay this in 2 months, 3 months, depending on everyone.
So they see the value in it?
Absolutely.
Munir, I haven't forgotten about you.
It's fine.
You say at Umuntu Agrobiotics that you help smallholder farmers double their crop yields, as evidenced by your grandmother's story, using a low-cost, chemical-free microbial solution. And your tagline is reinforcing food systems resilience to climate change. So tell me about this product.
Our product, BioPlant, has the capability of creating adaptability characteristics when introduced to the soil.
Explain that in the simplest way possible.
Yes. Our solution has... it can withstand drought and long spells, long dry spells, meaning a farmer doesn't have to rely so much on irrigation. Even if it takes like 3 months without no rain, the crops planted can be able to grow successfully. Not only that, but also even the microorganisms themselves, they have a capacity to suppress the disease-causing kind of microorganisms and making plants thrive in any environment.
What's this product?
It's BioBlend. It is a nature-based kind of product. We extract it from soil itself. Ideally, there are more microorganisms in a teaspoonful of soil, yes, as compared to the entire population you know about in the world. That is about 8.2 billion people. So just in a teaspoonful, meaning the solutions are here with us, but we just need to tap into them and, you know, expand and grow them and, again, take them back to the nature itself.
So what do these microorganisms actually do?
What they do, like I've said earlier, they suppress the disease-causing microorganisms, meaning a plant can withstand without a farmer relying so much on spraying the chemicals on the plants. They also have the capability of withstanding the drought kind of periods, longer periods of drought, meaning plants can thrive.
So when you took this to test it at your grandmother's garden, explain to me what the process was.
Oh, the process, it is in three phases. You can put it directly at planting stage. That is, for example, a liquid, you aim at the plant root zone. Yeah, you plant with the seeds and then you apply. And mid-season, that is towards flowering, and later before you harvest, towards harvesting season. That is the application. But we wanted to fit into the the picture of a smallholder farmers. So what you do, you can use either a knapsack sprayer or a watering can, because these are the equipment that our smallholder farmers are more familiar and convenient with.
And I would need how much for what period of time?
You need 1 liter, that is for 2 seasons a year. 1 liter of our BioBlend can take you up to 2 seasons, 2 farming seasons.
And how much is a liter?
A liter, that is about $1. It depends. Sometimes it can be less. Other times it can be exactly $1. It depends on the variation. That is 4,000 to 300, 700. 3,700.
I know you did a feasibility study as well. The smallholder farmers that you spoke to said they can afford it.
Yes, they definitely can afford. We did it basing on the already available market kind of charges with other competitors.
How are you going to deal with the different types of soils per region? We know that that is very different from one region to the other.
Yeah, we understand the dynamics of the different soils in different regions. So what we basically do, we don't introduce these microorganisms without further doing research. We extract, we go in a district per se. Let me give an example of Oyam. We extract the soils from Oyam. We don't get soils from Oyam and just take them maybe to Gulu or what. We get from Oyam. We isolate, intubate using the Makere laboratory space, and then multiply them. After doing that analysis to understand the soil properties, the characteristics of the different soils, of the specific soils in that region, that is when we come back and, you know, say, Oyam has such and such properties of the soil, and then later we introduce back, but this time in a more bigger kind of way.
Have you both been in touch with NARO to just check all of this and just make sure that their scientists have given some input or have looked at it and given some input?
Apparently we have not engaged NARO. We have not brought them on board, but that is among the plan. Yeah, we are working more with the Ministry of Agriculture and Animal Industry and Fisheries, MAIF.
Nicholas?
Same story. We've not been in touch with the NARO. Of course, we do want to. We've only also been in touch with the MAIF, since they are also responsible for the certification of the product itself before it goes to the market. So they're the only people we've reached out to so far. And we're definitely looking out for opportunities to engage the other research institutions.
What's keeping you awake at night about this innovation?
Researching to see how to improve it. There is quite a big room for it, the things that we've been looking at with our team. For example, improving the hygroscopic properties of water bank. Layman's language, maybe how can water bank absorb water from the moisture from the space without irrigating? We've also been looking at how do we integrate maybe nutrients so that someone can have a 3-in-1 solution for something. So we believe there is still enough room to improve this, and it's actually good for farmers.
I was in West Nile last week, and I know you were in a similar area. Thinking about the climate that we're experiencing right now, what was going through your mind about your product?
Yeah, the most important thing is understanding also the environment and where your customers are based. I think it really matters a lot. So Northern Uganda is typically a hot kind of region. So as I'm thinking now, I'm like, really, our product can fit because it has the capability of withstanding drought, dry spells, you know, no rainfall. So plants can thrive regardless of the rainfall, regardless of, you know, irrigation. And that comes at no expense.
How are your products contributing to reducing the pressure of climate change on smallholder farmers?
Let me just give a background of Uganda's smallholder farmer space. Over 80% of these farmers are relying on rain-fed agriculture. And this now becomes a problem when they face dry spells, a real actual problem. And so for us, we are looking at how do we build their resilience so that even during dry spells, they do not have to sit back and wait for the rains. So this is where water bank comes in, and farmers can be able to produce food during the dry spells, so that at least they do not have to fall back. So that is how we are contributing to the climate space.
Yeah, the soil microorganisms, when introduced into the ecosystem, they are able to adapt to, let me say, prolonged drought. So this means that plants are going to thrive in any kind of environment.
What's been your biggest lesson on this journey in thinking through your innovations and making sure they're fit for purpose, in the research that you've done, in understanding the climate in the region, in engaging with the smallholder farmers in the region? What's a lesson that you'd give to another innovator that might want to apply for the third window or might want to innovate around agriculture?
It all comes back to research. That is number one. But a lot of things come in the way as an innovator. As you're innovating, there's a lot that comes in mind. You have to be resilient. You have to do a lot of research. And, you know, not to be so attached to your innovation. Be able to receive feedback, be it negative or positive, and change accordingly. If you go out while doing your feasibility studies, listen to what the farmers' needs are. Don't ignore even the slightest point of all.
For me, I would say listening, number one, is to listen to the people. Of course, when you're listening, you see if you do not take every criticism, every idea that you listen, but listen to the farmers, listen to the people around you as well, even those who criticize the innovation. Listen to them. Why do they criticize? And definitely sieve. But then secondly, look for the right team. Look for the right team, because a team takes you really miles that you would not go if you're not with the right team. So the right team is very important, and I think that is something that the Uganda Climate Innovation Fund has helped us to bring on board, the right experience, expertise.
Thank you very much, Munira and Nicholas, for making the time to speak with me. So both of these innovators are on LinkedIn. Check out Ubuntu Agrobiotics on LinkedIn, and check out Afrotime, spelled AFROTYM, on LinkedIn as well. So here at Climate Talk Uganda, we'll continue to follow their journey and the journey of the first two innovators that we spoke to in the previous episode. And we'll bring you up to speed when these products are certified and on the market. Thank you for listening. My name is Josephine Karunji. Until next time.